Everybody is doing well on this, the Lord's Day, as we have gathered in the Lord's house to just be able to praise and worship Him together. It's definitely a good day. I know that each and every one of us, as we take these opportunities, we come in and yeah, sometimes we sit back and we've got a lot of things going. We get a lot of things on our mind, but today we're just going to ask the Lord, as always, that He would just give us a calm and a peaceful respite and opportunity just to be able to worship Him and for the Lord to speak to us today, because this is the day that the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's. By the way, look around, give somebody a wave. I didn't forget that. A good smile on your face. That's the that is the new post-COVID greeting. Everybody, wave at the choir. Let them know how much you love them. Choir, let them know that you're watching every move that they're making by giving them a wave as well. You can see what's going on and who's fiddling around. They'll talk to you afterwards about that. But now, anyway, we're glad that you're here today to worship with us. If you're part of our online audience, we're grateful that you're joining us today as well. We trust and pray that the Lord will speak to you through His Word and through every aspect of worship that that we undertake today as we come into His house together. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin. Father, as we come to You now, we just thank You and we praise You for this opportunity to gather together in Your name. Help us, Father, never to take for granted that that wonderful opportunity that You have given us. And Lord, the opportunity to be called part of the family of God. And then, Lord, we thank You for this gathering that we call Central Baptist Church, and the opportunity where Your children come together to worship You, Lord, to pray for one another, to just lift one another up in encouragement and to learn together on our journey through this life until we reach You. So, Father, we're grateful again for these moments and this opportunity. May You bless us today. Speak to our hearts as only You can. And Lord, we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, folks, now one of the things that we have done around here for years, it looks a little bit different since the pandemic, but it's always been one of our joys to be able to take this opportunity as a church family to be able to gather together and decorate our Christmas tree. As you can see, the Christmas tree's over here. It's got a few little odds and ends on it, but one of the very special things that has always happened in my life in this church, and as well, I think, as many others, is the opportunities that we used to take through hanging of the greens to be able to decorate the Christmas tree as a church family. So we're not going to leave that out today. So what we're going to do, I think Jana and Wesley actually are going to have some ornaments right up here. So we're going to take just this moment as we begin our worship service to give you an opportunity to come down, take an ornament, and put it on the Christmas tree. And this is our church family Christmas tree. So and some people, I've actually had people in the past say, well, I'm not a member of your church. I'm like, are you a member of the family of God? That's what that's all about. I said, that's like being at the family reunion. How many of y'all go to the family reunion and saw people you don't know from Adam's house cat? Okay? They're still part of your family, all right? So let's take this moment as a church family and take the opportunity to decorate the tree. Wesley and Jana, come on up with the ornaments so people will know where to go. And then just everybody look like a free-for-all. Come on down as the music plays and take an opportunity to hang your Christmas ornament on the Central Baptist Church family Christmas tree. Would you come now?
The child was born, the star shone bright.
It looks
a little bit different now, isn't it? Doesn't it look so much fuller that the church family has decorated the tree? And that's always been a very, very special time that we've had. Brad's going to come and lead us as we begin our time of worship together. And once again, we just ask that you think about as you lift your voices to the Lord, don't just go through the motions. May it truly be an act of worship. May you think about these words that are coming out of your mouth straight to the heart of the Father. And may it truly be an act of worship to Him as we begin our worship service together.
Please stand with me as we sing 96 Good Christian Men Rejoice.
Good Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Born today, man and beast before him bound, and
right.
Couldn't help notice, are there any baseball fans here? Did you notice anything about the choir?
When I looked at him, I said, they've got the shift on. Like for the baseball fans, we know the shift. That anyway, I was giving a moment for Mari, who's filling in for Vicky today. We appreciate that. Please join me as we sing 94, Angels from the Realms of Glory.
Thank each and every one of you folks, not only those that are here, but those that that happen to be tuned in for your prayers, for your concerns this past week. It was just it was amazing to watch God do some pretty incredible things in so many ways that you can't even begin to imagine, to express. You begin to find out how God lines things up and how he makes them the way he wants them to be, and he makes them the way that they should be. You know, I thought about that as I went over in my mind all of the things that that took place over this past week, and had opportunity to talk to people. I thought, you know, it's great to be a part of the family of God. Your prayers, your concern, the people that were involved in this whole situation. I had told folks, some of you all have heard this story, but you know, I just all of a sudden my left leg wouldn't do what it was supposed to do, and it was like it was asleep. It just wouldn't wake up. And you know, Jana's like, "Now you need to go to the doctor." I went to the doctor, and you know, you're expecting take two aspirin and call me in the morning, and you get go over to the hospital. And then the Lord gave me some true lessons on patience, dealing with the emergency department for about 18 hours. And then, you know, actually being assigned a room, and I said, yeah, I tell people this, I had the best care that you could ever imagine when I was up on that floor. Man, they treated me good. They took good care of me. I think about the folks that were involved. I had a follow-up appointment, and the doctor that I saw at my regular doctor's office, I had never seen this doctor before. And I walked in the door in the follow-up appointment, and first thing she said was, "I was worried about you." And I think she is of Indian descent, and you know, she followed my progress through the emergency room for 18 hours. She stayed up all night watching results as they came in. Most people don't do that. My buddy, who I've shared with you very often, from West Virginia, that I grew up with like a brother, same thing. He was talking to me through the whole night about what was taking place, what was going on, giving reassurances to what was taking place, explaining things in a way that a little hillbilly boy could understand what was happening and what was taking place. My church, you guys prayed for me. Our associational, we still know him as the director of missions, but it's called Associational Mission Strategist, had touched base with me, and I said, I don't know if I'm going to be able to be there Sunday. And he said, I can get somebody for you. And I said, that would be fine. And I understand that y'all enjoyed Nick Decker last week, right? He's a good fella. Good fella. I appreciated Nick at a moment's notice. Pinch hit. He's on staff over at Lebanon Baptist Church and a great guy. Matter of fact, it was like a family reunion. I think a lot of folks here know Nick, whose dad is the pastor at Triad. So what a blessing it was for him to be able to do that. But just all these things. I actually received a telephone call from Morin and Taiwo Andy from California. So I guess good news travels fast as well. What a blessing. And then the calls, the cards, the folks that took the time to come and sit in the emergency room with my family. And if you walk in that emergency room, you're brave to start off with, because Lord knows what you're going to walk away with. But God is good. And all the time. God really is good. And during those times, I had some moments to be able to ponder when you don't know and when you hear news that can change everything. And I think all of us have been to that point. You know, we've heard something that we did not expect to hear. Yeah, I still remember that they kept saying, oh, this test is good, and that test is good, and this other test is good, until they walked in. And for those of you who are wondering, there is a brain up here. I've actually seen it on an MRI. There is one there. But then when they come in and they tell you, yeah, you've had a stroke, I'm like, that doesn't fit in my vocabulary. At my age, it doesn't fit in my vocabulary anywhere else. And I thought about the man that was in there that was before me when I had that moment to be back in the back, and the fact that he couldn't answer any questions. He didn't even know his own name. And I was sitting there thinking, he and I have the same condition. Why is it different with me than it is with him? Because it wasn't God's plan at that particular time in that particular moment. Now, I can tell you that I know for a fact that there's a reason why things like this happen. There is a reason why today I am standing before you and you don't really see me any different than before. I even still have the same cowlick I had 2 weeks ago, right? Can y'all see that? They couldn't even fix that in the hospital. That happened at birth, and I'm going to keep that probably to the day I die. But God has plans, and he has reasons why he does what he does. But when you hear something like that, you begin to ponder what it's going to be like. I said, this feels like a very comfortable place, because you know what? I could not have been here this week. Things could have been completely different from here on out. I could have not been able to speak. I could not have had use of the leg that was a little wonky. What does that look like when life suddenly changes? Now, all of us have had that experience in some way, shape, form, or fashion along the way. If you've got your Bible, go ahead and turn with me over to Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, because this is very fitting and very telling with what we see as we continue a look at the Christmas story. Now, week before last, we had some opportunity to talk about Mary and to talk about the fact that she had found favor with God, to talk about the fact that she had been chosen among all women to bear the Savior. And we talked about how that kind of rearranged things in her life. But today, I want you to understand something that she said and something that I personally heard along the way in my journey. And it comes particularly, if I had to pick one verse for a text today, it would be Luke chapter 1, verse 30. And this is what it says. It says, "Then the angel of the Lord said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor
with God. Do not be afraid. You know, there's a lot of things that can cause or generate fear within our lives. When you get that devastating news, when you hear that diagnosis, when something takes place that you're not sure how it's going to affect your future, the questions begin to roll, don't they? You begin to ask yourself, you know, hey, yeah, am I ever going to have an opportunity to do this again? Yeah, is this the end of this? Is this over? Is this going to get worse? Yeah, and particularly in those early moments when you sit back and this is something that you can be fine, and then as time progresses, it just gets worse. Would I ever stand before the congregation of Central Baptist Church ever again? Is a thought. Will I ever stand before anybody ever again and proclaim the Word of God? Because that's all I got. That's all I know. And why is that? Why is it that way? Because that's what God called me to do. Can you imagine that the lostness of that? And those questions begin to go, you can't help them. All of us have been there. And when we look at the situation of what the angel of the Lord said to Mary in the middle of some circumstances, we talked about it 2 weeks ago. Mary was a good girl. Mary had found favor with God. Mary is the one who had a great reputation. And what was told to her was something that could potentially change all of that. Imagine what that must have been like. If you could, for just a moment, put yourself into her place and think about what that must have been like. All of her life, she had done things right. She was the good little church girl. And now, she's going to have to try to explain something that cannot be explained. She has to have a talk with her parents about why she's with child. And mom and dad are sitting back knowing the birds and the bees story, saying this is impossible. This doesn't happen this way. What have you done? And she's going, honest. Nothing. The unexpected. You see, the fear that you and I often have is the fear of the unexpected. In that verses 26 through 30 of Luke 1, it says, "Now the sixth month, angel of Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice.'" Now that's something to be careful about. Rejoice. What does rejoice mean? When you think of rejoice, what does that mean? Simply put, woohoo, hey, yeah, rejoice. And I'm sure at this point she's like, yes, I can rejoice. Rejoice, highly favored one. Oh man, that's great. An accolade. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered the manner of greeting this was. You've seen it before. You've been there before. Why are they coming to talk to me? Somebody in a particular position? Why are they coming up my driveway? Why are they knocking on my door? Wonder what they want. This can't be good news. All these things begin to come. And you're right, the same was true with Mary. Mary's sitting there saying, this is kind of cool, but why are you here? Why me? I'm not deserving. Yeah, I don't know why you're here. And then, interesting, the verse 30 that we read a moment ago, the angel of the Lord said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father's David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end." Mary is hearing all this stuff, and you have to understand understand that Mary had been awaiting the Savior. She was one who was awaiting the announcement. She was the one who had been waiting all of her life, the good little church girl. She had always been taught that there would be a coming Messiah who would give up his life for the remission of the sin of the whole world. And for the sins, past, present, and future. And now all of a sudden, not only does she have a ticket to the show, she's got a backstage pass. She's going to be a participant. She's going to be part of it. And the angel says, do not be afraid. How many of us are afraid of the unexpected? That's easy to sit here and say, well, I think I do all right in the middle of it, until you hear the news. Until you are put in that particular position. And you know what? Sometimes God has to tell us, don't be afraid. I got this. I think there are times when our faith gets tested. Are you really going to trust God or are you not? Is he really your Savior? Do you really believe that he is able? Do you really believe that all things work together for the good of them who love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose? That means there's a reason why what's happened in your life has happened in your life. Always. God never wastes anything. Why did this happen to me last week? I don't know yet. But I think it could be a lot of things. I think it could be something for me. I think it could be something for you. I think it could be something for people that we don't know anything about. Maybe it was somebody that I had a chance to talk with in the hospital. Maybe it was a chance to give somebody some encouragement for the wonderful things that they do. To be able to say, thank you. I appreciate you coming in here. To be able to see love and to see God's people in action. I saw Doc, man. He stopped by every day that I was in the hospital. Really early. I woke up and there's Doc in his white coat. By the way, the ER doc says, yeah, that dude must never sleep. He's here early, man. That's it. But see, that's love. That's care. That's what care does. He didn't have to stop by and see me. I'm not one of his patients. But we're brothers. And that's what you do. Not because you have to, but because you want to. Are you afraid of the unexpected? We don't like the unexpected, do we? You know what? Hey, let me tell you how we bring this around. We call it change. We don't like change, do we? Because see, most of the time, if we don't like change, it is something that is unexpected. See, we don't know how it's going to go. We don't know what it's going to be like. We don't know whether we're going to win, lose, go forward, go backwards. So we like rather stay where we are than to risk losing ground. Let me tell you this. That's exactly where Satan wants you to be. Afraid. Afraid to take a step. Afraid to move forward. Afraid to do anything except stay right where you are, paralyzed in fear. Mary must have had some fear of the unexpected. Why? Because that's what the angel told her. Don't be afraid, Mary. How many times has the Lord shown up in your circumstances, in your situation, in your life and said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. God's got this. See, I'd never been in a hospital a day in my life until this past week. There's a lot of stuff. There was a lot of firsts for me this past week. I learned what an MRI is really all about. I learned why they were asking me if I was claustrophobic. I said, I don't know. When they shove you in a tube with your nose about an inch from something, then you realize whether you're claustrophobic or not. Craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. Sounded like somebody turned a monkey loose with a wrench in that thing, just beating all over. When I started in there, I thought to myself, yep, I'm claustrophobic. But let me tell you what else I did. I shut my eyes and said, Lord, I don't like this. I feel like the filling in a donut right now. But this is something we got to do. You know, when you're sliding that thing in there and your shoulders are like rubbing up against it, I thought, I wish I was thinner. And you can't move. And I said, Lord, get me through this. And we just had a chat. And you know what? The thing that I got to do is I said, let me think about wide open spaces. And let me think about what heaven is like. Let me think about those particular things. Let me think about what it's like being in the vast openness. And in the midst of all that, before I knew it, they were sliding that board with me on it back out of it. And I said, Lord, once again, you have shown up. And Lord said, don't be afraid. I got this. I got this. It's all good. Do not be afraid of the unexpected when the Lord shows up in your life. He's wanting to show up in your life. Mary grew up having dreams like all girls. She had kept herself right in the presence of the Lord. You know, and my question to each and every one of us today is what is it that has entered that peaceful harbor of your life to cause and create waves? Oh, because all of us have them. You're sailing that ship along, and then all of a sudden, you find yourself in troubled waters. What is it? Oh, you see, the Holy Spirit's already reminded you right now of what it is. Let me give you a message straight from the Lord today. Fear not. Fear not. Don't be afraid. I got this. And I know what you're doing. Did it myself. Lord, this is pretty bad. I was like, Lord, I don't really know how to process this. He said, then don't. Just trust me. Like, Lord, this seems pretty big, Lord. And he went, you think this is big? Hey, you remember me telling you before, God ain't having a Malox moment over your issue. If he can make the dead rise, if he can take dirt and spittle and create a body, let me promise you that whatever you're going through is not out of the reach nor out of the range of the Heavenly Father. And he's got you on the path for a reason. Trust in the reason. Even when you don't know what it is, trust in the reason. Because let me promise you, there's something that sailed, some troubles have sailed into your harbor. The waves have become tall. Good news? Lord, I thought you were bringing me good news. This don't sound like good news. Do you understand, Lord, that people are going to think I was promiscuous? Do you understand, Lord, that the man that I love, that I am engaged to, is going to think that I was running around on him? I mean, what else could he think? How many other immaculate conceptions have there been? Zero. Good job, JC. Bible study right there. There had not been an immaculate conception before Christ. There has not been, don't care what science says, there has not been an immaculate conception after that. Period. So you have to explain to your mama and your daddy and your husband-to-be and the people around you that you are the exception to the rule. How do you think that went? How do you think it would have been if you were on the receiving end of that? And yet, the whole time, here's something I want you to understand. This is hard for us at times. God wasn't telling you that his role in your life was to make you happy. You understand that? Your role in the life of the Savior as a believer is to be used as an instrument in the hands of God. Do you think Paul and Silas sit in the middle of a prison with their backs bleeding going, "Hallelujah, Jesus, thank you so much. Oh, this is fun. Hit me again. Rip my skin a little bit more. I love being in the central lockup in the prison for being out preaching the gospel. Bring it on." You think that's what they were saying? No. You know what the difference between them and us most often today is? They understood why they were where they were. They didn't let the circumstance dictate the way they felt about the master. Look at Job. Many of us are familiar with Job. In the midst of, Job didn't understand why he was going through all that he was going through. All he knew was that I am not turning my back on God. I am not going to blame God. There's got to be a reason for this. So I'm going to hang on until I figure out what it is, even if it's not until the other side of glory. And yet what we do is we get too busy being a bunch of whiny hinies. We pout. Oh God, why me? Well, I mean, have you ever thought that maybe some of the greatest things that God wants to do in your life and through you and around you are going to happen through the unexpected things that are going to take place in your life that would create fear in you? You see, perspective means a lot, doesn't it? How do you view what you go through? Let me tell you how I viewed it. I viewed it but in this way because a lot of doctors were sitting there going, can't figure out why this happened. And I'm sitting there going, this didn't take God by surprise. But you know what I got to say? They said, well, you're going to have to see a speech therapist, an occupational therapist, and a physical therapist. I said, bring them on. We'll take them out one at a time. Oh, I loved what was written in one of the cards that I got that says from a dear, sweet member of ours that said, Pastor, we know you don't need speech therapy. A single bit. Yeah, there you go. And you know what? They learned that when they walked in the room. And they had a sweet little old gal that I could probably just fall on her and crush her was one of my physical therapists. And we walked down the hall and it was do this and step over this and climb up the steps and do all these things. I said, well, you want to dance? We'll do a waltz out here in the hallway too. Carried me back to the room, brought in the other physical therapist, and I loved this one. He had me on the bed and pushed my leg back like that. And he said, now, when I tell you, I want you to push on my hand. He said, I want you to put, I'm going to put resistance. I want you to push as hard as you can. I said, as hard as I can? Yeah, don't hold nothing back. I was like, okay. He said, push. I kicked him across the room. Hit the wall, and he goes, oh. I said, yeah. He goes, we're done here. Those are God things. God heard your prayers. I'm not supposed to be here today. This isn't supposed to work. This isn't supposed to work. But God is given an opportunity. He's given me an opportunity, but he's given you an opportunity as well. What will you do with your opportunity? Because I can tell you what I'm going to do with mine. I'm going to keep the hammer down because it is a blessing to stand here today. They said, this, we can't figure it out. I said, I'm not trying to figure it out. I'm not trying to figure out why it happened. I'm trying to figure out what we do with the fact that it did happen. But I'm here to tell you that prayer changes things. Look! I'm supposed to carry a cane with me for a few weeks because of blood thinners. And they said, well, that's just in case that leg gets weak or something. You got something to help ride it to the ground. I like what a fella said next door over there before coming in here. He said, well, you ain't using a cane. You're just carrying it. And I said, that's exactly right. But folks, let me tell you something. God is good. I said God is good. And all the time, even when the unexpected happens in our lives, even when the troubled waters sail into the midst of our peaceful harbor. You see, Mary could have had some fear of the unexpected. Mary could have had some fear of personal loss. Think about that. How much personal loss happens? You know, when you're sitting up in a hospital, you're sitting there going, well, you know what? If I can't preach, that's how I make a living. That's how I feed my family. That's how I pay my bills. What happens from there? All these things start going through your mind. And you know what the Lord says? Fear not. I got this. Fear not. And you see, I love how God has a way of getting attention in another way too, because I would sit back and think, well, I got a backup plan. I can drive. No, you can't, Roy. Because your commercial driver's license is on hiatus. No safety nets. God doesn't want us to have safety nets because God doesn't have a plan B. God's plan A is always the plan. You got it? Fear of personal loss. All that Mary and Joseph had dreamed of was about to go down the toilet for them, or so they thought. The big wedding plans. Imagine the gossip that was taking place behind their back. I just thought Mary was a good old girl. Folks, let me tell you something. Don't be part of a gossip ring. For crying out loud, don't do it. Everybody gets opinions of somebody and they're like, well, look at this one. Yeah, stop. Yeah, even the Lord said, judge not lest ye be judged. And let me just drive that spike home a little bit further. And if you don't believe it, jot down Matthew chapter 7 and go read it, because here's what happens. The Lord says, if you're going to be that harsh of a judge against somebody else, he said, then I'll use that same standard that you use to judge you. Now, I don't know about you, but I need all the help I can get. And people are going to mess up. I sat around that emergency room and I saw an emergency room full of sick people. And I thought, yeah, there's a lot of sick people in here. I saw them throwing up in them elephant trunk things they give them. I saw them in different sections for different things and I thought, ooh, there's a lot of sick people in the emergency room. And then it dawned on me, duh, that's where sick people are supposed to be. Right? Why is it that when spiritually sick people walk into the emergency room called the church, we act like they should be somewhere else? Now that stings, doesn't it? This is where they're supposed to be. And therefore, often what happens is they find that they're ostracized and talked about, and instead of being where they need to be, they go elsewhere. Instead of running to God, they run away from Him. We need a few more sick people around here who are willing to admit they're sick people and need the Lord, who need the attention of God's people without judgment. You know, I've had people come to me before and they say, preacher, I messed up. This is what I did. Never have I agreed with what they've done. I'd say, yeah, you're right. You screwed up big time. We can move past that now. You've already understood that. Now let's talk about repentance. Let's talk about forgiveness. Let's talk about restoration. Myself and even some of you who have walked the journey with some people in this life to restoration have been ostracized. There have been people who have left the church because our church has embraced somebody who's walked through some troubled waters. Well, you know what? I stand firm in the fact that I answer to him and nobody else. This right here is our guide. And you know what? I believe that if sick, hurting people knew that, there would not be enough room on our property for the people that would be here. Fear. What are you afraid of today? Are you afraid of the unexpected? Are you afraid of the personal loss or what it's going to cost you along the way? Mary was with child. Her dreams were shattered, so to say, and so were his. And we know the story with Joseph. You know, an angel had to appear to Joseph as well, because when Joseph heard the news, the angel hadn't visited him yet. You know how I know that? Because you know what the scripture said? The scripture said that Joseph was going to put her away privately. Privately. He could have had her stoned to death. He could have gotten mad, flew off the handle, had her stoned to death, and moved on. But no, he loved her. He was hurt. His world was crushed. And he was like, okay, I'm not marrying you in regard to this. But guess what the angel said to Joseph? Are you ready for this? It's no surprise, but you ready for this? Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Mary, don't be afraid. Everything's good. Joseph, don't be afraid. Remember Elizabeth? Don't be afraid. How about insert your name? Don't be afraid. We serve the same God. He was powerful then. He's powerful now. Yesterday, today, and forever. Now, it was interesting that I said that, because when we look at the story of Joseph, which we're not going to do today, but you have to understand, Joseph wasn't afraid of the angel. Joseph was afraid. He was afraid of the loss. It wasn't the fact that the angel came to him and said, don't be afraid. Now, if an angel showed up here, you're going to see me a little shaky. But that wasn't Joseph's thing. Joseph wasn't afraid because the angel appeared. When he was hurt. He had felt like he'd lost Mary. He felt like he had lost his wife. He was fearful for the loss. What are you afraid of losing? What is it today that's got you in the position of fear? Then along the way in the Christmas story, there was another don't be afraid. So you remember when the Savior was born? It says that an angel appeared unto the shepherds. And what were they told? Don't be afraid. For is born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Don't be afraid. How many don't be afraids do we read in the Bible, and yet we don't apply them to our situations where we are? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Some people are afraid of meeting God. Some people should be afraid of meeting God. If you don't know Him, you should be afraid of meeting the Father. If you do know Him, that should be a tremendous reunion. The shepherds were fearful. Their fear was because of the glory of the Lord. When is the last time that we feared God because of His holiness and because of His reverence? When is the last time that we realize the God that we serve is powerful and wants to do something in and through us? We can change this town for Christ if we will just do it. Jesus changed the whole world with 12. There's more than 12 in here. What are we afraid of? Sometimes we can become so business-oriented that we're no longer spiritual. What happens if God takes it all away from us? Might be the greatest blessing we ever had. Because then we don't have anything else to distract us. You've been there before, haven't you? Where God took everything out of the way just so you could concentrate on Him. Sometimes I've heard it said like this, sometimes God puts you in the flat of your back that the only way you can look is up. Some of you've experienced that. You know what I'm talking about. There have been many who have shared fear and awe. There was Abraham, there was Job, there was Isaiah, there was Peter. They had to face their sins. That was something they had to do. They had to face their sins. Have you faced yours? You may fear meeting God. I trust and pray that today that's not a fear as in you're scared. It's a fear just of His reverence because you understand His holiness and His power. But here's good news. And this is where I shut it down. The good news is that God loves you and sent His only begotten Son that you might have eternal life. And He says, don't be afraid. I know most of us in here are parents, and you know and understand what it's like to comfort a child that's afraid or that's hurting and they're afraid of the unknown. And you know how you've just kind of scooped them up and you've held them in your arms? You can remember that, Madeline, when your boys were little. And you knew what was going on. You knew there was nothing to fear because you knew what was going to happen. But they didn't, and because of that, they were scared. But yet you being mom, just you said, it's going to be okay. It's going to be fine. You see, God Almighty wraps His arms around you and says, it's going to be okay. It's going to be good. Because He knows the outcome. He knows the end. Do you trust Him? What are the attention getters in your life that should become fear nots? God wants to take away your fears. You need to trust Him. And when you do, you will have nothing to fear. I enjoyed clowning around with those up in the hospital. I thought, you know what? If I'm here, might as well have some fun. You know what else I wanted to make sure I did? I wanted to make sure that they understood I appreciated what they were doing for me. Thank you for the drink. Thank you for all that you've done. I did get a little frustrated when I first got up to my room. I said, the only thing I want is to get in that bed and get a shower. The lady said, no shower. I was like, oh, come on. I said, there's one right here. No shower. You're a fall risk. I said, look at me. I'm not a fall risk. She said, just your diagnosis makes you a fall risk. I said, God bless your heart. It wasn't her fault. She was following orders. But folks, now you understand. I hope and pray you understand that when we say God is good all the time, that's what I mean. Not some of the time, all of the time. God is good
all the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
No matter what. Fear not. What are you afraid of today that you need to give to the Lord? That this Christmas might truly be the biggest and best Christmas of your whole life. Some of you all are worried about your children. Give it to the Lord. Don't be afraid. Some of you all worry about the diagnosis. Don't worry about it. Fear not. God knows what's happening. And I'll make you this promise. Ain't nothing on this planet going to take you off this planet 1 second before the Lord is going to call you home. But let me also tell you that there's nothing on this planet that's going to keep you here any longer than the date that the Lord has set for you as well. Are you ready? Are you ready? If you are living and you're breathing, then God still has a plan for you. And it is not to sit idly by. I've thought about each and every one of you from calls, text, letters, the whole kit and caboodle. Your card meant a lot to me, JC, because I know it takes a lot just to be able to see it and write something down on there. That meant a lot to me, brother. He took the time just to send me a card. That was a labor of love. And I appreciate that. Those that have called, Ruby's card. Just so many of them that said, hey, I'm thinking about you and I'm praying for you. And I believe that with all my heart. And that's why I'm standing here today. Because God heard your prayers. I'm not afraid. No matter what happens, I'm not afraid. And as long as God gives me breath and life, I'm going to be right here. Because that's what he's called me to do. Somebody might have to push me up there, but that's fine. I might have to get a prop. If I had to do that, that's fine too. Because you know what? I am going to preach until the glory of the Lord comes down. Because that is what he's called me to do. What a church family. Thank you. For everything. Even had one sneak past security. This was hilarious. Got a chance to come up and visit in my room, which usually doesn't happen. And the hilarious part was he had an ID badge on that had a picture on it, and it wasn't his. Well, how do you do that? I mean, one that they print out for you. I'm like, you've done changed ethnicities and everything. What are you afraid of, guys? I'm going to ask our musicians if they would to take their place, because today there are certain things we need to understand. Family means something. That's why the tree, you know, that's why we enjoy decorating the tree. When I look at that tree says Central Baptist Church, not just the team that did it. Every one of you have had a hand in that. That says Central Baptist Church family to me. I hope it does to you as well. So in the family, are you part of my family? Are you part of God's family? Have you trusted in Christ? I don't care what kind of church member you are. I care about what kind of a believer you are. If you haven't trusted in Christ, then let me just state it the only way I know how. You could slip into hell this very moment. Your life could change for all of eternity in the next second. What will you do about it? You see, you can change that by trusting in Christ. And oh, yeah, your life could still change in the next second, but eternity is far better with Christ than it would be with Satan. Have you trusted him? Here's your chance. Don't let it slip by like maybe you've done before. Trust him now. In fact, don't give it another second. Just simply bow your head and say, Lord Jesus, I'm lost. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Forgive my sins. I believe in what Jesus did for me. Amen. And I promise, if you met that with all your heart, the Lord heard the prayer of the repentant sinner. Now, don't stop there. Grow in his grace. That's fun, man. We have a good time growing in his grace. We got this idea that churches sit around and listen to this guy lecture. No, shouldn't be that way. What did you come not only to receive, but what could you give? Because God's called you to be a part of this body for a reason. You're important. Today, maybe you just need to say, Lord, I have been petrified with fear, and I've been stuck where I am. And today, I am giving the fear over to you. Would you do that? Would you just simply say, Lord, I've been afraid for so long. I've been afraid of personal loss. I've been afraid of what's taking place or what could take place. Lord, I've been afraid of stuff that doesn't even exist. But Lord, today, I'm trusting you. I'm giving my life over to you. I'm going to hang on and enjoy the ride no matter what it looks like. because I know it's part of your plan. In Jesus' name. Listen, do business with him based on what he's put in your heart today. Would you do that? In a moment, we're going to sing our invitation hymn. Brad's going to lead us. I will be down front if you need me for any reason. This altar is down here. We still do an old-fashioned altar call. I still believe that. There's nothing in the world wrong with that. You can check all the cards you want to. You can give me a call and all that mess, but there ain't nothing like taking care of what needs to be taken care of when it needs to be taken care of, and a good old bended knee at an altar is sure a good way to do it. Amen? That might have sounded horrible. I hope it didn't, but you can always call me. We'll talk. Don't let the moment get by. It's now. As Brad comes, as we stand, as we sing our invitation hymn, which is hymn number 317, Only Trust Him. On your moment of your opportunity. As Mari continues to play, you do business with the Lord. Don't lose out on this moment. Amen. I'm gonna let you be seated. I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way down as we receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to him. Just as a reminder, our team is planning to go to Cuba. This will be the first team that we've had go since the pandemic started. The dates on that are March 10th through the 17th. We have a six-person team. That is going. You'll hear more about that as a church when we get into the month of February. That's usually when we do our time where we'll receive the offerings that will support the mission work that we will do there. We always ask our folks that are going, our missionaries, to raise their support outside of the church, because our church has actually been the what you'll give, and we'll give you the opportunity to give during the month of February. What you give is what supports the ministry work that goes on in Cuba. And I'm working on that budget right now. I will get that to you so that you will know what you give is going for. I'm asking you to begin to pray about what you would do in supporting the ministry of our mission team that will be going in March. So let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you now, we're so grateful and thankful. And Lord, we realize that all we have comes from you. Help us, Father, to be faithful stewards of what is yours. May we truly be found faithful, especially in the area of giving back. That portion that you demand of us or command of us to be able to give back. Lord, we also ask that you would bless the gift that goes towards many things in doing your business and your work. But above all, Lord, we just pray that we truly would be found faithful in worshiping you through giving of the tithe and offering. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Thank you so much, Mari. Mari is pinch hitting for Vicky again, who is getting over the COVID. We've had a little wave of COVID come through the church. So you remember those that have had that, Vicky, Don Reed, and Roger, Helen and April, I think both of them have had that. So a little wash through with the COVID, and they've done exactly right. They're keeping their distance so that that they're not passing that around and sharing it through the congregation. Folks, we love you. If you tuned in, we just want you to know we're praying for you. We love you. A little rash of that going through. I want to make sure that I mention the cookie trays. That's going to be the Tuesday at 10 o'clock. So cookies and delivery people. Now normally y'all are sitting there going, well, what is that? Well, Judy's always had a time to get the ladies together as a little fellowship. And if you want to help do this, this is fine as well. They meet here Tuesday. It's going to be this coming Tuesday at 10. Oh, cookies, candy, cakes, donuts. Well, they make little trays for our shut-ins, and then they take them to them. So if you want to be a part of that in any way, if you can bake a little something, bring it by. If you want to help put them together, if you want to be part of taking them out, they always have a wonderful time of fellowship. That is 20 trays is what they're going to be working on this year. So be a part of that. Even if you say, I can't do that, make some cookies. It'll change somebody's heart and their life. And you just get them here to the church and everything will be good. They'll get it all lined up and Judy will make sure it's good. Just a couple quick things. Birthdays this week on Tuesday. We got three birthdays on Tuesday. Cherie Johansson, Vicky Jones, and Vivian Wells will be celebrating birthdays this coming Tuesday. And then this coming Thursday, my bride, Jana Carter, will be celebrating a birthday, which will remain a secret so that my health will continue to improve. But nonetheless, those are folks that have birthdays this coming week. Be sure to shoot them a card, send them a text, just let them know that you love them, you're praying for them. Anniversaries. This coming week on Wednesday, David and Donna will celebrate another year of marital bliss together, as well as Randy and Sandy Stewart will be celebrating an anniversary. Both of those couples will be celebrating on Wednesday. And then on Saturday, Tammy and Brian Gardner will be celebrating an anniversary. So once again, let them know that you love them, you appreciate them, and that you're going to be praying for them. Just a couple of quick things before we go. Choir practice is at 4:45, getting ready for the 18th, so it's a little bit different time than normal, but 4:45. Also, Sunday, our Bible study tonight, 6 o'clock p.m. in here, 5:30, Awana, that's our normal time, and then every Wednesday, there is a men's breakfast fellowship at 10 a.m. at the Olympic Restaurant in Colfax. So if you can be a part of that, you'll have a wonderful time. We do have a Christmas musical special that will take place on the evening of December the 18th, 5:45? Six. Okay. I was curious about that. Our regular service time on Sunday the 18th at 6 o'clock p.m. Then following that, we're going to have a time of fellowship. So after we finish that, we'll slip over to the gym, and we'll have an opportunity to fellowship together. And then just mark your calendars. We're going to have our Christmas Eve communion, just like we always do, two times for that, 6 o'clock and 6:30. That is not, you're not going to have to come listen to me preach or anything like that. It's a come as you are, bring your family. It's that moment on Christmas Eve where we come in to pause, to remember why we celebrate the Christmas season. That communion lasts maybe 10 minutes each. So if you can spare 10 minutes on Christmas Eve to remember our Lord and Savior, it'd be a great, great opportunity for you to do that. We'll do that at 6 o'clock, and we will do that at 6:30. We would love to have you. Lottie Moon, we're in the Lottie Moon season. What I'm going to do is I am going to call on David to come and dismiss us in a word of prayer. He can let us know a little bit more about what our goal is, if we've got that set. I'm sure we probably do. That's something that took place. The missions team usually sets that. So he can let us know about that and anything else, and then he can see us off in a word of prayer. Guys, I love you. I thank you. I appreciate you in every way.
Our Lottie Moon Christmas offering, receiving that last week. We had over $2,000 last week. Our goal is $9,000. We've got till the end of this month to get it, so we hope that you'll be praying about what God would have you do. This money goes to international missions. It supports missionaries. All the money goes to the missionaries. None of it's used for administration. So if you want to spend some money on missions and see that it gets on the field, this is where to do it. So we got missionaries all over the world struggling today. The economy, world economy, is just like America's economy. It's difficult, and things are not going the way they have in the past. So you pray about what God would have you do, and we take that mission offering. You can turn it in with your regular offering every week. There are offering envelopes in the foyer out there. If you want to get a Lottie Moon Christmas offering, you'll notice that there's a message on it, and it's in English, it's in Spanish, and it's in Chinese. So depending on what language you read, you go ahead and read whatever you can on that. But that's symbolic to let you know it's going all over the world. It's not just here in America. Let me lead you in a word of prayer before we go. Our Father, we thank you for the privilege we have of being in your house. God, we realize that each one of us are here today because you have spared our life and you have made it a way for us to be here. Not only have you made a way for us to be here, Father, you have created the desire in our heart to be here. And we thank you and praise you for that, Lord. We give you credit for all of that. And Father, we ask that you help us share that message and the message we've heard this morning of how good you are and how much you want our praise and worship. Lord, help us to share that message with others as we come in contact with them today and the rest of this week. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.